This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to the Girl Powerful Podcast.
We're two sisters on a mission to entertain
and educate by learning from women who live a purpose-driven life.
Be sure to subscribe and rate our podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Girl Powerful Podcast. Today we have Sharzad Kiyade with us. Thank you for being here. Sharzad is a host, a podcast host, and a YouTuber known for being so funny, honest, and relatable, which is what we love about you the most.
Wow. Well, thank you for having me. Even though I write that bio sometimes when people ask for it, it's still nice when somebody says it back to me. I'm like, oh yes, I am these things.
Yeah, that's so true though. I just wrote one for real estate and I was like, wow, I've come a long way. And I don't think we always get to see ourselves the way other people do.
100%. Yeah. It's funny. I have to like remind myself of who I am sometimes, you know, because I forget. I'm like in my own little world. I'm like, am I anybody anymore?
Right. Cause you're the mom to two young boys. So I'm sure they like are the circle of your whole entire life.
Yeah. And it's also such a humbling experience being a mother. I'm covered in boogers and farts like every day. So yeah, quite humbling.
But then you also have like the glam side of life too. So I feel like you do have a good yin to the yang over there.
I try really hard. There, deep down inside, there is like two Sharzads that live. There's one that like loves to not wear makeup and be in nature and hike and be adventurous. And I grew up camping in Northern California where I'm from. And then there's this other side of me that's like, give me a gown and I don't know why I was going to say red carpet. I don't think I've ever actually walked on a red carpet, but that sounds awesome. And I love getting my hair and makeup done. And I truly do love like getting decked out, wearing the bling and being fancy.
Oh, so it makes you feel good.
It does make me feel good. It makes me feel so good. And I hated 2020 for so many reasons, but partially because I like couldn't tap into that other side of myself of like being sexy and fun and, you know, a little crazy.
Yeah. Did you notice your content was different during COVID?
Yeah. I also noticed that I just like needed so many more breaks more than normal from just being online, which I know we're going to talk about a lot today, but for me, when I'm going through some shit, like, sorry, I'll try and watch my potty mouth. Sometimes it slips out, but sorry if you heard S-H-I-T. When I'm going through something, and I'm a little depressed or in a funk, being on social media exacerbates that significantly. And I know myself well enough to know that, it's not a good idea for me to get online if I'm having a bad day, week, month, year, season, whatever. So I found myself not wanting to go on and seeing anybody like enjoying 2020 and COVID and all that. Like people that are like, I lost 40 pounds and I wrote a book. I'm like, I did the opposite.
Who are they? I haven't seen anyone lose 40 pounds.
I have a friend who literally wrote and sold like two movies during COVID and also got in the best shape of her life. And I was genuinely happy for her deep down, of course. But I also I'm such an extrovert at heart that like it was just tough on me. And I'm sure obviously a lot of people, this is an experience where, you know, was humbling for quite a few people from all walks of life.
That's a really good self-check to be like, if I have my phone and I'm about to push Instagram or Facebook, is this going to affect me in a positive way or a negative way?
And it's usually negative.
Yeah.
Totally.
Did you mute those people or did you find like a routine that worked for you? Like do time block or put a timer on?
Yeah. So I mean, I've been online for 10 years, right? Like I started really going for it in August, 2011 with a blog and a YouTube channel and hosting different shows online, some on TV. So I feel like I really had to create some boundaries a few years ago. I really, really felt like I needed to create boundaries when my mom got sick and when she passed away. That was super tough for me. And I needed to like, so much of what I felt like I was seeing online, and it's definitely because of what I was going through, felt like white noise. My world felt like it was ending. And I was seeing this, like, you know, what I deemed to be white noise. And it really made me rethink the boundaries that I have for social media, because anything that was adding to my already sad state was not good. You know, anything that was contributing to me feeling worse during that really tough season of my life was, you know, needed to be eliminated. So I started like creating boundaries, and then I kind of just have built on them to find a routine that sort of feels really good. And, you know, I'm a mom of a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, and I'm pretty strict about them and their screen time too. And that again has been something that I've sort of added layers on as I've gone and seen what works. I feel like the whole mom thing is kind of an experiment, you know, like one month after the next, you know, it's kind of like, okay, let's try this, see if it works. If it does, we'll continue. If it doesn't, we'll do something different. It's so much pivoting and flexibility. But yeah, my routine, if you want me to go into it, I can.
Share some tips.
So I feel like the first thing that was really important for me was to put my phone not in my bedroom or by my bed, which I'm sure a lot of people have heard to do. I saw you guys both nodding, so maybe you've done it. But I put my phone in the kitchen, and which is far, and there's no chance that I'm going to go down to the kitchen to look at my phone. I don't sleep that great. So of course, I'm sure you guys have heard that if you check your phone and you're scrolling at 2-3 in the morning, you're going to have an even worse time falling asleep. So that was one thing. Also, all these like smart, influential people I heard talk about their morning routines for a while. And so many people said, you know, you don't want to see somebody else's life like first thing in the morning when you wake up, no matter how confident and happy you are, just getting like starting your day with a mindless scroll is not the way you should start your day. It's like the exact opposite. So that was a really good step one of putting my phone far away. And that forced me to just like, if I woke up, just lay with my own thoughts for a second, wash my face, like just start my day just with my own thoughts instead of starting on with the scroll. And then I do the same thing before bed. I try and turn my, I put it on silent. I try to do that usually around like 6 or 7, like after dinner time. That way I don't hear any dinging and binging and I don't even feel like I need to check it. And then I just put it away in the kitchen.
I think that's a really good thing. Like my boyfriend always loves to have his dings and notifications on, and it drives me insane. Because it's like, sure, have it with you, but why does it have to be like quack, quack, like 24/7? It is.
It's literally a quack because he's obsessed like, with the Oregon Ducks.
Go Ducks.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, then I'll like secretly like click it down, you know, because that's easy to do. And then he turns it on like really pretty quickly. He notices that it's not quacking.
Yeah, it's such a distraction. Like, to hear a ding, no matter what you're doing, it takes you out of that moment. And I feel like I've been trying for 3 years at least now to really be present. You know, time can go by. I mean, life can go by so fast. And I really don't want to miss out on fun things that are happening around me. And a little ding makes me feel like I need to go check and see who needs something from me. And I don't have notifications that ding on from Instagram or any social media apps. I don't know if anybody still has that, if they're listening, but there is a way that you can remove that so that your phone isn't always like, you know, buzzing and stuff. And being an online person, like there were days when I'd look at my phone first thing in the morning and somebody would say something so mean to me. I mean, that's a terrible way to start my day. I've been called every single thing you could possibly imagine on the internet. And then some. And it's like, imagine if you see that when you wake up or right before you go to bed. I mean, it's like, it's just demoralizing.
I have something to say that might make people mad at us. Talking about screens and like kids, I was walking through like an outdoor mall and I looked in a restaurant and there was like a couple with their four kids. Number one, I think that's too many kids. But number two, they all had headsets and tablets. Like no one was speaking, even the parents. And it really like, I don't want to parent shame anyone because that's not none of my business. I'm not a parent, but I was like, whoa, what's the point?
Oh my God. I'm really happy you brought that up. I'm like stuttering. I'm too excited.
But honestly, Charlotte, I almost like wanted to be like, what are you doing?
Same kind of thing happened to me. I would say, just about 2.5 years ago, we went to this really nice resort in Mexico and it was, you know, my husband and my two kids and the sun was setting. We have a view of this like amazing, like Mexican sunset. It was an expensive place. So if you were there, you were paying a lot of money to see the sunset. And the table next to us was all completely isolated on their devices, not facing the sunset. And it just made me mad. And it was so, and it made me mad because I'm like, why did you spend this money to look at your dumb freaking phone? The attraction is out there and this should be a shared experience. That's why you guys, in my mind, are on vacation together, is to have a unique shared experience with your loved ones and appreciate the nature that's right in front of you, that you flew here for, that you spent money for. What are you doing on your phone? Get off your phone. It made me so mad. But I, you know, and that brings me to like, my kids don't get iPads. Mm-hmm. I'm one of those psychos that like doesn't, is psycho not PC?
But is psycho like,
is it not?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I really think that not giving your little boys an iPad is the psycho. I think that other way, everyone else is a little psycho for being whatever reason they need it.
Detached,
yeah, lazy, tired.
Yeah, totally. I will say like in the beginning of parenting, before I had my like boundaries in place with screens and before I really, I guess, understood the side effects of having my kids be on screens, my kids watched iPads and my oldest would watch his iPad to like eat breakfast. And when I had two fairly close to each other, it felt like a nice break for like a second. Mm-hmm. And so I know that there's parents that are in different seasons that are like, I need a break and I don't care how I get it because my sanity is more important. And I totally get that if that's the season of parenting you're in, then that's what you need to do to survive. But then as my oldest was like around, I don't know, 4.5, I noticed he started getting really addicted to his screen. And if I took it away, it was drama. And if I put a timer on, it was drama. Like no matter what I did, even if I limited it to like 15 minutes every other day, it was still an issue. And he begged me for it all the time, which was annoying to me. Like, just stop. So I challenged him. I said, if you don't ask me, you don't look at your iPad and you don't even ask me for it for 30 days, I'll take you to Universal Studios and you can have a donut. And we did this whole chart. We did this whole challenge and he absolutely crushed it. And then I have to say in those 30 days, his behavior got night and day significantly better. Our relationship was better. Everything was way better. And then when the 30 days was up, I was like, damn it, I really don't want to go back. Yeah. Like this feels like wrong to just hand it over again after all the progress we made. So I started another challenge and then I basically just told him he can't watch it anymore.
There we go. He probably didn't miss it because it was like 60 days. He like, I mean, a little bit, but maybe not.
Didn't really
so much.
Now he asks me every now and then. And of course, with like other parents who don't have the same rules as me, if he's at a friend's house or his cousin's house and they don't have the same rules, I'm more relaxed about it. And I let him watch screens with his cousins, for example, if we're on vacation with them, because I don't want to be so psycho and like, no, you have to sit in the other room while every other kid is playing on their iPad. It still bugs me, but I know that like at home, the rules are a little strict so that when we go out, we can be a little bit more relaxed.
That's good though, because he's not going to go to college and just stream all day long. Right, instead of binge drink or do drugs, he's like, I have to watch all these shows.
I know. I it's like a fine line because I feel like when I grew up Persian, and so my dad's from Iran, and I wasn't allowed to like have a boy call me. And that didn't work out well. And I became the most boy crazy person in the world. So I feel like if you're so restrictive, then your kids right. won't swing in the opposite direction. So I'm like, okay, you can watch it with your friends at their house if it's being monitored and blah, 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 you know, but yeah. in my house under my roof.
It is proven that screen time releases endorphins in the brain, but then mm-hmm. at the same time, it negatively affects your impulse control. And that's what you see with, like, you take away the screen time and then there's the meltdowns, or, you know, like a lot of times with as grown women or teenagers that we work with, you take away the phone, they feel like they don't have any self-worth because they're not getting likes or comments or all this attention, like defining who you are in real life. So I think that's so important to tell, like, developing children, like, this isn't your world and this isn't your worth either.
Well, you see that, like, with even with, like, our age group, like, if there's a lull in conversation, people, like, pick up their phone, like, and nothing's even happening on there. It's just like this thing we've done yeah. to ourselves through just what society's putting out there.
Totally. I try to be really mindful of that. Like, I try to be the person that's not on my phone when I go and I'm standing in line somewhere or at the airport or whatever. I know it's really easy to pick up your phone and scroll, but no matter what I see, it's going to put me in some kind of mood. And I don't want something to have so much control over my moods. You know what I mean? I also, like, really enjoy, like, eye contact and meeting people randomly. I've met friends in elevators, I've met friends in all sorts of places. And if had I been on my phone, I would have missed out on opportunities for connection, human connection, which I personally place a high value on. And everybody's different. And, you know, I'm not naive. I know technology is a part of our lives. I've made a career off of technology for the last decade. I grew up in Cupertino. I know how powerful and amazing technology can be. I also feel like, you know, we're just in the Wild West with social media and there just aren't really clear cut boundaries yet. And it's so addictive for these little developing brains.
Yeah.
Also, you guys work with young girls. It right. can be just straight up dangerous. I'm not saying it can't be dangerous for boys, but it's a lot more dangerous for girls. Like the stories that I've heard of young girls getting catfished on the internet by people that they, you know, by celebrities, like,
oh, yeah.
And you know, moms just barely intercepting like a meeting location that's been conducted between DMs between young girls who think they're going to meet up with a Jonas brother or something. I mean, the stories right. I've heard are mind blowing. And, you know, unfortunately, it makes the job as a parent even harder because it's like a whole nother thing to monitor. And I don't know how teen moms do it. I feel like teenage years, it's really tricky.
Well, we had this girl that was, I think, 8 at the time. And she was on that game Roblox or something.
Okay.
You know, where you like build and you spend a lot of money on it. So that's a whole nother layer of, you know, being scammed.
Spending all mama's money.
Yeah. And being like scammed out of humanity as a
right,
kid.
Right, right.
But this girl was in a chat and you can't write sex on there because that would like ping or flag, you know, into a kid's game. But the adult behind the screen was like, doing like hashtags and like
emojis,
like you knew what he was asking you, but like he was asked, like, yeah, a predator was on there talking to a little 8-year-old girl. And then she told us like at camp, and like obviously we told her parents, but I was like, wow, you know, when you actually hear it from like the kid that it's happened to now.
Yeah. And she's
oh my god,
and she knew what those like emojis and like symbols were, so it was like that kind of took her innocence away that day at 8.
That makes me sick to my stomach. It just makes me absolutely sick. I think about myself as a little girl and as a teenager and how wild I was. And as I mentioned, boy crazy. And I think of how I would have been the person that would not have done well with social media. Like it would have, I get FOMO, not so much anymore, but there have been seasons in my life where I would be so depressed if I knew my friends were hanging out with me or without me. And then to see it like plastered all over the internet, you know, yeah. for everyone. I mean, it's just really hurtful. It's a hard thing to navigate. I mean, I'm 38. I have a tough time navigating it too. I have boundaries in place and I do digital detoxes pretty regularly. And I try and find the joy in it because there is joy. Like I talk a lot of smack about it, but there is joy. I mean, I get to have conversations with awesome sisters like you. There is good content. There are good creators. There are good people.
Right.
But it's like, you got to take the bad with all the good. And it's like, you need to find these, you know, really I keep saying the word boundaries, but you got to find these boundaries so that you don't go absolutely insane in the process.
Right. Just like we want to protect the girls and the kids and our children, it's like we also have to protect ourselves for our mental health, because otherwise we're just going down this huge rabbit hole. And I was wondering, what were you like growing up? Like, you're so energetic and you're radiant and you're so friendly and like magnetized. I would, you know, people are just drawn
magnetic.
People are drawn to you. So where did your strong sense of self come from?
Thank you. What a nice compliment. I have two of the best parents and siblings on planet Earth, and I always felt like I really was grounded in my family. I have a big Persian family in the Bay Area. My family is, it's so funny. Just the other day I was at a party and my girlfriend's parents were at the party dancing, partying with us all. And it reminded me of how I grew up. And I was talking to a couple other people. I was like, did you guys grow up that way with like partying with your parents and stuff? And they were like, no, we never did that. And I was like, oh, okay. Like I partied with my parents and I got to really be myself in front of them, and they really encouraged individuality at a super young age. And my older brother and little sister, who I know you guys have met, we all feel like, I feel like very grounded in who we are and where we're from. And that created a sense of like self-worth and confidence. But my childhood was awesome. I mean, there was a couple dark moments between like 12 and 14 when I went extremely crazy, expelled from eighth grade and just partied a little too hard. Definitely like went to rehab before high school, summer after eighth grade. So it took things a little too far every now and then, but overall, like my protective factors were always in place. Like I always knew I could trust my parents. I always knew I could trust my brother and sister, and not just them. I have a ton of aunts and uncles that I knew always had my back. And, you know, I was the kid that at a soccer game, I didn't just have my parents and my brother and sister. I had uncles and aunts at my soccer game.
That's awesome.
I had a Persian crew just Shahrzad, like, you know, yelling. Anyway, so
it sounds like that beautiful. Was all based on like open communication, and I think that's hard for a lot of people to model, and like that probably trickled down from how like your dad was raised and how your mom was raised, right? Yeah. Like, did you see that from your grandparents as well?
No, my parents were definitely, I mean, my grandparents were great, but my mom was an extraordinary human. I mean, she was cut from a very special cloth, and, she really led by example, I feel like, with how confident she was and how she valued friendship and adventure. I mean, I've never in my life seen a woman with more friends than my mom. And she put such a high value on friendships, female friendships specifically.
Yes.
She wasn't friends with any dudes. And that was just naturally instilled because, you know, she just really led by example, which, I mean, that's the best thing you can do as a parent in all areas. You know, and we can trace that back to social media habits. Like as a parent, you've got to lead by example with how much screen time you consume. So you see that, you know, so that your kids see your eyes. They don't just see you hunched over,
right,
ignoring them. They're going to think that something on your phone is significantly more important than them. And that's not going to create confidence and self-worth in a young developing kid. So I really got lucky. I feel like from the second I knew who my parents were, I felt like the luckiest kid in the world to be born to them. And I just feel like that's really special. Obviously not everybody can say that. I knew how special my relationship with my mom was, and I'm lucky I have a really great relationship with my dad too.
Yeah. So, when you mentioned the female friendships, we love talking about that. I think that's one of the best thing all women, parent, not parent, teacher, mentor, coach, like, that is like the best thing you can model for women and for men, that we treat each other kindly. And you see your girl squad on your Instagram, like you share that you're a girl's girl. I'm sure you can hang with the boys too, but what are some tips on how to be a good friend to females?
This is such a great subject. And it's so interesting, because I feel like there's a lot of seasons with your friends. Sometimes you're not going to be as close as you once were with a girlfriend. Sometimes you're going to have friend breakups that are really painful. And sometimes you just like move apart. But I mean, I try to be a really good listener just with any relationship that I'm in. I try and find people to put in my life that I really have a lot of respect for and that I have a great time with. and that I, you know, who I really value. I put, you know, and again, I put a huge value on female friendships. I don't really have a lot of guy friends. I've got my kids, my brother, my husband, my dad, my uncles. Like, I have awesome guys in my life, but I've never had a true guy friend. I don't know what that's like. But you know, for my girlfriends, I mean, I just have so much respect for them and love. And I try not to put any pressure on them to be something to me that they can't be or anything like that. And I feel like the older you get and you throw motherhood and wife life or whatever in there, you know, you have to be realistic with your expectations of your friendships and stuff too. Not everybody has a ton of time to do all the things that you may want to do and vice versa, but clear communication, respect, and also, does the person make you feel good? Right. Do you make them feel good? It's very simple, actually, at the end of the day. When you walk away from hanging out with them, are you happy or are you a little irritated? It's just like a self check-in. You know, there's some people in my life who I feel like I've left their presence and I'm like, I almost like need to detox from the lunch or dinner that I just had with them. You know, I'm like, oh, I feel kind of icky.
Or yeah, when their text comes through, you're like, oh no.
I will say one of my biggest pet peeves is when I'm out with a friend and they're on their freaking phone instead of hanging out with me. Right. Obviously people have to check their phone here and there for if they're moms, of course, things come up, but I hate being around people and they're on their phone and not hanging out with me. It is so disrespectful to me. So I choose women that aren't really addicted to their phone. And it's funny to say that, but if you pay attention who you hang out with, like, and you see, oh, they're actually always on their phone when we eat or when we go somewhere, or they need to like check something all the time, or they need to like fact check on Google for when we're having a conversation. It's like, no, yeah, I'm more like a 90s girl. Like, let's just like have a conversation.
Right. And like, most nights where you're like, oh, we didn't take any photos. Dang it. But you know, you were like so into the moment. Mm-hmm. You just like couldn't bring out my phone to take a picture.
So, you know, one of my besties, Dinah Trout, who you guys, I think, have had on here before, we hang out all the time. We have so few photos together because we're both the same. We put our phones away and it's just like pippity pop, laugh, 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 laugh. Okay. Oh my God. We got to go home.
Yeah. You know, so
and like we have like hardly any photos, but that's the sign to me of like, I don't know, just a little bit more. We're just very present.
Yeah.
It's
a gift. And that's what friendship is a gift. So your presence really leans into if it's gonna be, you know, a long-term friendship, which is fine. But did you feel like with like what you learned during COVID and just like everyone learned so many things, what were friendships like tested in that time for you? And like, did you have a friendship detox? Because we don't really talk to many people anymore and that is fine. It is fine with me, and the ones that stuck around are lovely and they're homies and you'd do anything for them, you know.
I did. And as I mentioned, and as we talked about, I am a girl's girl, but I'm also somebody who checks in with myself a lot. And if the relationship is not working, I have no problem like walking away from a relationship that I don't feel like is benefiting either person. I actually had two really significant friend breakups during COVID that I'm still like processing because they felt like they were like, I am not really happy about the way either of them kind of are right now in this moment. And that being said, both these women separately from different parts of my life, I don't want to be friends with, but also I don't like the idea of like not honoring what we did have in a way, you know, like every relationship has value when you're in it, and to walk away and feel like so much anger towards the person that you were friends with once upon a time, like also feels weird. So I'm actually currently trying to figure out how to let go of anger towards the people that I'm no longer friends with, but it's a bit of a struggle. And actually I feel like nobody ever talks about like friend breakups. But people go through them all the time. And I broke up with two friends. And they were like full on, we are no longer friends anymore.
Right. You go through the same motions, not the like affectionate side, but obviously the emotional side of losing that bond and that true friend.
Totally. Totally.
The thing that I love the most that we do with the girls is we talk about friendship a lot because there's so much you know, those social issues at school. So it's like one comment can derail somebody, you know, or like make it a huge pivotal change in the social scene. And we always have the girls sit down and journal, like, who do I feel my best around? Who am I my true self around? Even like, what am I wearing? What are we listening to? What's our after school snack? Like all of those things that you really don't realize that, you know, like, oh, if I'm with Shahrzad, I go home feeling happy. But if I'm with Jen, like go home and I'm like mean to my sister. Or you know what I mean? Totally. It's so important to teach people at a young age, like, do you feel good when you leave that interaction? Yeah. Like there's always this energy exchange. And sometimes I feel like people feel compelled to stay in a relationship because you've been friends since you were 12 or because mm-hmm. you had a business relationship. Mm-hmm. But if it's not serving you,
yeah,
it's so important to move on.
Some girls are always like, well, our parents are friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's okay. That's kind of like a cousin that you like and you know, they're part of your family, but maybe you aren't as close. But there's just so many layers and so many versions of relationships that kids have to go through. And I don't think that we even give them that space sometimes to like be those little humans with all these feelings because they're going through it too.
Right. But that's so valuable, guys, that mm-hmm. you're doing that. I mean, just to get these girls to, it's checking in with themselves. Right. You know, how do I feel after I leave this person's side? How do I feel after I spend some time hanging out and having dinner at their house or whatever? Like, how do I feel? That's such a valuable thing that you guys are teaching these young girls. And it's such an important tool because I feel like women are almost taught to like push their intuitions away and like not check in with themselves. And mm-hmm. what a bummer, you know, what a bummer that we've been taught that in some sort of roundabout way. And it's one of the most important things. I mean, you know, if not maybe the most important thing to check in with yourself, yeah, right?
We were on a hike. This is like so simple, but about women's intuition. We were on a hike and the trip with our friend Morgan, and she was like, this is the trailhead. And then at the trailhead, it said like trailhead moved up, and I knew it. I'm like, yeah, I know it's up the hill. And she's like, no, this is where we go. It's okay. And it was basically like, you're going to be given a ticket if you go. So we go.
We're like, let's just step over these signs and this fence, you know, a little exploration.
But then there were like all these signs were just like climbing. And then it's like, they legitimately put tree branches across the trail and the fire road. And I was like, we're like, maybe, she was like, should we keep going? And I'm like, all three of us keep asking ourselves, should we keep going? Like our intuition is saying no. And right. there's signs that say no. Right. We need to honor this. We're being complete idiots.
Right.
Well, they
right.
thought we were going to get shot because we're in Idaho. So they're like, we're going to be hunted.
Yeah. It's hunting season. Well,
or like a stray bullet from somebody thinking that it, something that they saw was an elk, and you know,
yeah, like, oh, I look like an elk.
She's a platinum blonde elk.
I'm an elk.
No, I mean, Idaho's a whole new world. I want to come up there.
You're coming.
We're gonna have a party in the spring.
Yeah, we are.
You can definitely put your phone away and have the best time ever.
I just think that, yeah, digital detox is so important. Like, I don't know. I'm older than you guys. I'm 38. So I remember high school without a phone. Mm-hmm. I remember college. Like, we weren't really on our phones. Sure, Facebook had, like, just come out, but it was not what it is now. Like, you'd check it, like, maybe on a Friday night, you'd check Facebook or something. Right. But it wasn't, like, every hour on the hour, 4 hours, you're, like, scrolling. And I love a digital detox.
Like, well, that's something that's really lovely about the community in Boise is that people aren't addicted like we've seen in LA.
Yeah.
They don't have anything to prove to anybody. It's like we had this event with 25 women. We didn't say, you know, a lot of things in LA, you have to be like, we're going to put our phones in this basket so you guys can chill out for a minute. You know, you have to like take the phone out of their hands. We didn't even have to mention it.
It's no one had their phone.
No, out. I didn't see a phone. No one had any pictures. Like, I took a couple. But
yeah, I led a guided meditation, and everyone was just there with their eyes closed, dropping in, doing themselves. Like, they weren't looking around. They
amazing.
Weren't looking at their friends. They weren't, like, you know, they were just there. It was so beautiful. I literally was, like, tearing up. Because I was like, this is so powerful right now. This is life.
Like, your souls are like detoxing because you're not around like cell phones and stuff, like in Idaho? Like, do you, does it feel like just, I mean, I know geographically it's so different than LA, but in terms of, yeah, the phone usage being significantly less, does it feel like your soul is just kind of breathing and detoxing? And
for me, like, I would have never become a meditation teacher in LA just because like everyone's so perfect and like so thin and so healthy and all this stuff. And like, so connected to different studios and communities. Like, I feel like I didn't feel have a self-confidence to do what I really wanted. And I love it.
Yeah.
So COVID, I like did my certification and then it's like, it feels so good. Here, it's like, I'm a leader. I'm confident. I know what I'm doing. I don't care what anyone thinks of me. And I'm building this little tribe of people and it's beautiful.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so excited for you too. What an awesome thing. I mean, that's a serious blessing that came out of COVID for you.
Yeah.
For how sure. cool is that? I feel like both of you guys like really pivoted well with COVID. You were like, cool. So LA is awful. Like, get me out of here.
It was hard. We were in that apartment for 11 years.
Yeah.
And it was like the boxes were stacked up and like, you know, you just get stuck and stagnant and it just didn't feel good for either one of us.
It's kind of nuts though, that like a pandemic had to happen for us to like feel moved to go forward in our lives. Right. But that was a lot of people. But I was also like, man, hopefully next time if I need a change, I don't need, you know, to be locked up to get that. Or maybe I'll do a little stint in jail or something.
Yeah, let's keep you not behind bars.
Yeah, let's not say that out loud.
Yeah. That's so cool. I remember seeing Teddy, your photos you kept posting in Idaho. And I was like, oh, I wonder if she's just like on an extended vacation there. Like, what is going on? And then I thought maybe you moved there. See, social media can be great too. Like, you know, there are so many fun things. There are so many real relationships that I've developed from people that are on Instagram that are doing good stuff. And, you know, so I know I'm somebody who can say a lot of bad stuff about it. Cause like I said, I've been online for 10 years. I've seen every mean thing you could say, has been said to me. And so that feels weird and icky to just even say out loud about all the meanness that I've received, but there's been so much goodness too. And, yeah, I mean, my sister found you guys for our very first project.
Yeah, I know. You were like our first interview. I was like,
We were so nervous.
Oh my God, you guys crushed it. I love it.
We had like sweat beads on our mustache, on our upper lip. We were drinking 20 glasses of coffee. We're just like, what? Like, we like both black, like in the beginning, we would like black out doing, talking to anybody.
Yeah.
And I had like the biggest double chin.
Yeah, you're like, what's your name? I'm like, what? Seriously, Shardon. Watch it back.
Oh my God. You guys, it's
very
so
scary.
Funny.
What do you do? What's your mission?
Huh? So you always be like, beach camp. I'm like, that's not what we do.
I know. We're not even allowed to bring that up anymore because we don't do that, obviously. But
you guys handled it so well and you just do so many amazing things. And now you're pros.
Yeah, it's much better now. It feels more comfortable and more fun. When you're comfortable, you're having fun. If you're just full of anxiety, you're like Garth, you know, and Garth. That's it. He pretty much like encompassed how I feel all the emotions all the time.
I'd like to get by now.
Yeah.
So side story. We're in Idaho. We're with our friend Morgan doing this illegal hike.
Yep.
We're like, well, like, we're not going to hike. We're like, let's just go back and go up to the top of the mountain. There's like a, it's called Bogus Basin, and there's a roller coaster.
Yeah.
So Teddy's like, I've been thinking about this roller coaster for the last like year. And I'm like, let's go do it. You know, 15 bucks. It's probably the last weekend before it gets cold. So we go, we're sitting there with our dog, who's a German Shepherd, and her dog, she has a doodle. And this lady, like, everyone has dogs here, like big dogs, and they're like all off leash and really well trained.
Yeah,
except for our dogs,
because they all have electric collars on. You think they're all trained, but they're all just like electrocuted.
So this dog comes up, and Hart isn't the friendliest when he's on leash. So this dog comes up, and we were like, oh, like, we look at the lady, and like Morgan and I weren't saying anything. And then Teddy goes, put your leash on your dog, please. Just like Garth, I'd like to get by now. She's like, put your leash on your dog now, please.
But I didn't look at her. No. I like looked around, but was saying it loudly in her direction.
I was like, you are so Garth. Like, that was the weirdest social interaction I've ever seen.
Love Garth. Love Garth. Love it. Love it. Love it. Yeah, that's fun, guys. You do a lot of fun stuff out there.
Yeah, we do. I mean,
great story, huh?
And the roller coaster.
I'd like to get fine now. How's the roller coaster?
The roller coaster was a great time. I like to over scream, you know, like no one needs to go to Disneyland with me because it's ridiculous. I'm like on the elephants, like,
I'm a screamer too. That sounds weird, but I love to like, ah! I think that's really
fun. It's way more fun. But so this was so fun. And we always end our podcast with this question. What makes you feel most alive?
Oh my gosh. You asked me this once before, I feel like, and I had a better answer then. I feel really, really good about myself when I get a good night of sleep.
Yeah.
And that I have this like insane sleep routine that makes me feel my best. I feel like everything can be traced back to whether or not I'm rested. Mm-hmm. And that makes me feel alive. Otherwise, I feel like a cracked out hot mess that can't make any of the decisions that I need to make. I don't eat well. I don't work out. I don't drink enough water. It all goes back to sleep for me.
That's
kind of a boring, weird answer, but that's
really
in my mind that feels like my truth.
Yeah. I have a life coach and she said your self-care routine starts at night. So I have
my
morning routine starts at night. So I have anxiety and I like lay in bed and I'm like thinking like, what's going to happen to Hart tomorrow? Our dog. I don't know. I just like think a mile a minute. So it's like, I can't even imagine being a parent and like, just like thinking what if. So she makes me, I do like a positive thinking meditation. I do my whole skincare routine. I get in bed. I put myself in bed at 9:45.
Yeah.
And then I wake up and I feel amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do my meditation. I don't look at my phone and I do a little meditation and then I start my day.
Sleep is so important. And I feel like I'm just learning how to sleep, like just in the last like year. Cause I woke up so much with my kids I feel like there was like a 4.5 year chunk where I was just waking up and da da da. And they've been sleeping great for over 3 years, but I didn't go back to sleeping great. I mean, I still have like weird moments of weird seasons where I don't sleep that well. But for me, sleep means if I get sleep, I'm going to have a better day. Yeah. And it's black and white for me.
Do you do tea or an elixir or magnesium or melatonin?
I do magnesium. Oh my God, my sleep routine is so funny and like OCD-ish, but I like, okay, the best sleep is like if I take a shower or a bath and I have my legs very perfectly shaven, they can't be stubbly. That's the OCD part that's weird. I've woken up at like 2 a.m. to shave my legs and go back.
What?
Wow.
And then I need like socks. I spray magnesium spray on my feet, or I do like a nice thick lotion on my feet and I put socks on, like sleep socks. And then I like to sleep with shorts on. I can't sleep with pants. I just like, I cannot. And then a really light shirt. And I prefer the temperature in my room to be cold, but then a thicker blanket on me. I mean, it's so much. And then of course I don't look at my phone, but I do read for about 20 to 30 minutes before bed. And I go to bed typically by like 9:30.
Yeah. I think that makes sense. And why not set yourself up for success to be the best you, you know?
Yeah. If I drink alcohol, even a glass of wine, it takes me like 4 days to recover. It's so sad. It's so sad. Yeah. That's my thing.
Mm-hmm. I love it. Sleep makes you feel alive.
It does. I know. I know.
Well, thank you so much, Shahrzad. What are you up to next and where can people find you?
Shahrzad Kiade, just really on every social outlet that you can find. Hoping to bring back another season of my new conversation series, Not My Circle, hopefully doing a season 2 of that soon and in person, which would make me really, really happy, but that'll be in probably a few months. But otherwise just, you know, being silly on the internet and then taking breaks when I need to, and hopefully coming up to Idaho for a fun little digital detox girls retreat with you ladies.
Yes.
That's what I'm like manifesting right now.
Bring your sister.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, she would love them. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I enjoyed to just chat with you and connect with you. So I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks to our guest. For more information on her, see the show notes.
Please hit subscribe if you have not already. That way, a new episode is delivered directly to your feed every week.